Welcome to Wide Receiver One, a Blue Wire podcast presented by WinBet. I'm your host, Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver. And today I'm very excited to talk to reigning Super Bowl champ, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans. The Texas native was the seventh overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft out of Texas A&M. And man, what a stellar rookie year he had. 68 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 12 touchdowns, setting franchise records with the Buccaneers. The three-time Pro Bowler and newly minted Super Bowl champion is ready for the new season, feeling like this year's team is better than last year. Could there be a repeat in this year's Super Bowl? Mike Evans thinks so. We're also going to get into who the man is under the helmet, from his humble beginnings to his charity work off the field. Stay tuned for my interview with wide receiver Mike Evans.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Today, I'm very, very excited because we have one of the Super Bowl reigning champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans. Now, Mike, there is so much to your story. I don't think people really know who you are. So even in me getting on the podcast today, I was telling you that and you was like, no, man, don't tell people. I don't want people to know. That trait of laying low is not the typical wide receiver trait. So who is Mike Evans and why do you have that internally that I want to be behind the scenes?
I don't know, man. That's just how I've always been. You know, I'm from Galveston, Texas. I just worked hard all my life to try to get to reach my goals. And, you know, I've been blessed and put in this position to, you know, not only just do, you know, what I love is play football and, you know, provide for my family, but also provide for others that are in need. And, you know, I love doing that and I take joy in that.
You seem to be a player that's got a great deal of balance in your life. I know you've been surrounded by a lot of women in your life. You got three daughters.
Yeah. Two daughters.
You got two daughters. A son. And you have your significant partner there in your life. But it all started with your mom. And to me, that was kind of one of the stories that not only your size and your ability that attracts me to you, it's your story about your mom. My mom had seven kids before the age of 25, got kicked out of high school. Everyone told her she was going to be a failure in life, but she went on to make something of her life and made her kids make something of their life. Can you kind of give me the Mike Evans story, your mom, and some of the hardships that you experienced in those early days that made you into the person who you are today?
Well, my mother showed me, you know, how it's done. And to no matter what hand you're dealt, you can always find a way to become successful and accomplish what you want to accomplish. And looking back on it, you know, we were, you know, a poor family, but she never made it seem like that because she worked so hard. She made sure we had everything we needed, you know, the new toys, the new shoes that came out. You know, she always made sure we had the best, even though she didn't have much. So she just taught me that, you know, that work ethic, you know, early on and, you know, that you can just achieve, you know, what you want to achieve.
My mother was the same way. She was the driving force in us setting our goals when we were younger. But it's just amazing when you grew up in those situations that, you know, to me, I didn't have a father. Your father was taken from you at an early age. Yep. Can you kind of explain that story? With you losing your father and how that has also helped develop some other things that you do off the field
as far as a Walter Payton nominee there for the Tampa Bay, and you mm-hmm. and you're doing some great things off the field.
Yeah, you know, I lost my dad when I was 9 years old. I guess a domestic violence issue. My story is on E60. If anybody wants to see it, like the most of it's pretty accurate. You know, my uncle murdered my father. He's in prison now, life in prison. But, you know, that was a tough situation, you know, growing up. And it definitely angered me a lot. And, you know, not having my father around. But, you know, I was blessed with a lot of mentors and a lot of, you know, great people in my life to help me get through that time. And, you know, my mom, obviously, she was the rock. But we definitely had, you know, other people to help out. I had a great group of friends, you know, growing up. And in the city I grew up in, Galveston, Texas, it was such a, you know, a tough city, but the people cared about each other, like, truly. So a
lot of good athletes in Galveston.
You are. Yes, sir. You know it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, a lot of great ones. But everything, you know, in life happens mm-hmm. for a reason. And I definitely just, you know, had a lot of help, you know, along the way.
When you're in a town like that, it seems like people do rally around each other, and especially the youth coaches. Now, I don't know what they saw in you. I know you had a basketball background, didn't play high school football until your senior year. And at that time, you had far more offers to play college basketball. Talk to me about one of your youth coaches that really helped steer your life in the right direction when you were younger.
Well, the people that do know my story and they do know me, that they know Coach Terry Pettaway. He's a legend in Galveston, Texas. I look at him like a father figure. He's my mentor. You know, that's what I tell most people. But definitely, he was there for me in a time of need. And he's there for so many other kids. And he brought up so many other kids the same way. But I initially started playing football for him. And my dad died. And then luckily, you know, I was playing on his little league football team. And he showed me how to be a man. And just watching him, you know, he was a great role model for me. But yeah, if anybody knows me and my story, they know that he's very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I played AAU basketball for him all the way up until I was, you know, 17. So, you know, from 8 to 17. So I've been around him a long, long time.
I have a little basketball in my background. My brother played in the NBA. I thought I was going to be playing in the NBA, but
basketball is a fun sport.
It really is. And it's far more difficult to be good at or great at. Than football is. So tell me, even as a big receiver, because this is one thing that's intriguing to me, because you do realize that height and being a wide receiver is a disadvantage as far as running routes and breaking and getting down. Because
people don't understand that, though.
Because the higher your hip joint is off the ground, the harder it is to break down. So you're one of the great route runners that we have. How did you get out of basketball player and just posting people up, trying to moss people, compared to, I've seen you transition that you've been more of a technician the last 3 or 4 years than your first 3 or 4 years of your NFL career?
Man, I love having this wide receiver talk because you know what you're talking about. You hit that right on the head, man. I was very unpolished when I came into the league, obviously. You know, I had, you know, ability in my size and, you know, can catch the ball. But, you know, I just started to watch, you know, everybody's film. And I just learned from everybody else, just watching their film. And, you know, each year I just always wanted to get better at route running because, you know, I'm 6'5", you know, I can run, jump, and do all those things. But if that's all you can do, then you're limited. So I just don't want to be a limited player. And each year I focus on route running. And I just watch the guys around me, watch guys around the league, watch the legends, yourself included, Randy, watch a lot of Calvin Johnson, and to watch how those guys bend and just be creative in their routes. It's really art form, and I just love, you know, just taking bits and pieces of other, you know, great wide receivers' games.
And since you've been in the league, you've been a dominant player. 7 seasons, 7,000-yard seasons, numerous NFL records, a bunch of Tampa Bay records. Like, even right now, because I'm always taking an interest in the wide receiver in the landscape, if I had 3 votes to the players that are currently playing, they're going to get a gold jacket one day. You know, one of those votes I got to give to you. And people might be surprised. They'd be like, wow, Mike Evans would get one of those votes. Yes, Devontae Adams would get one of those votes. and DeAndre Hopkins would get one of those votes. And there's probably one or two I might be able, but right now, as far as what you've done, and people would be surprised, you broke Randy Moss's 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons. And I was there for the first 4 of those. So I knew exactly what he did. And I just think, even with playing in Tampa Bay, getting into the playoffs for the first time, that you're still one of the most underrated players that we have playing the game.
I appreciate you, man. That means a lot coming from you. I mean, I'll take your opinion over, you know, just a guy that hasn't played before, for sure. So I appreciate that.
I mean,
that.
The numbers don't lie. I mean, you have, I'm not going to call them out because they'll be upset, but you have numbers already as far as catches and touchdown. The guys that got gold jackets have already.
Yeah, different times, you know. It's evolution as well, you know, of the game and, you know, how it goes from a lot of passing now and things like that.
But one of the things, and I'll move on, one of the things in getting a gold jacket is consistency. And that's what you've been able to do. You've been very, very productive throughout your career. I want to go a little bit off the field because we talked about, you know, growing up with a single mom. We talked about domestic violence issue as far as losing your father at a very, very young age. You have decided that I'm going to be different as an athlete. I'm going to do a lot of things off the field. I'm going to support people in Texas. I'm going to support people there in the Tampa Bay area. Give me some of the things that you have brewing with your charities over the next year that we can say, wow, look what Michael Evans is doing. Because I know what you're doing. I know you've been nominated. Yes, sir. But I want you to share it with the audience, some of the things that you're involved in. And you're not just about talking about it, but you put your resources and your foundation, which you've established, which make a lot of these things happen.
Well, the Mike Evans Family Foundation, you know, each year we give out scholarships to, you know, underserved kids and, you know, kids that are making good grades. We do that in the Galveston community. We do that in College Station community, where Texas A&M is at. And we do that in Florida, the Tampa area. So, you know, this year was our first year of giving out the 13 scholarships, you know, for my number. We gave out 13 scholarships to kids in those areas. We also do an endowment fund at Texas A&M and University of South Florida, you know, each year. We've been doing that for the past 4 years. And we just give out, you know, scholarships to kids that deserve it. And we also work with, you know, shelters, families that suffer from domestic violence. We donate there all the time. And a lot of other things that, you know, I just can't think of on the top of my head.
I mean, a lot of players around the league, I think it's one of the hidden gems being in the NFL locker room, is we don't get the notoriety for the good things that players are doing. Of course, if you do something, it's going to be blown from a negative standpoint, but we don't even have the same intensity on the great things that our players are doing. I want you to take me on a journey. All right. I played 16 years in the NFL. 2 times I got to the NFC Championship game. Never made it to the Super Bowl. And I wasn't one of those kind of people that say, hey, man, you play long enough, you deserve it. No, whoever gets there deserves it. I don't believe in charity. Take me on a journey. And I wanted to go from the first day that you heard Tom Brady might be coming to Tampa to, because I was there in Tampa, to the confetti dropping on you and ending with the parade the next day with Tom being a little intoxicated. Take us on a journey, man, because I've been in the NFL since 1987, man. I played in the 80s, 90s, 2000, man. Been covering the league the last 20 years. But I've never won what you have already. So I need this, man, okay? So take me on a journey. Give me some of the details. Maybe from the first time you heard that Tom Brady was coming to town.
All right. So when I first heard he was coming, it was like chatter that he was coming, right? So me and Chris Godwin are talking, and Chris Godwin was number 12. So I'm like, Chris Godwin. I was like, well, if Tom comes, what you doing?
Real talk.
And he was like, off rip, I got to give up number 12 easy. No problem if we get Tom Brady. And I was like, all right, smart man. And then, you know, a day later, we end up signing him, and he hits me on Instagram. And I just seen Tom Brady's name in my mention. I'm like, what the heck? And then he said, you know, excited to get to work with me. And then we worked out like 2 weeks after that. Mm-hmm. And the rest was history. He's the most detailed player I've ever played with, the smartest football player I've ever been around. And it's a reason why, you know, he's so accomplished. I mean, he loves the game of football. He loves his teammates, and he's going to get the best out of everybody around him.
What type of ball does Tom Brady throw? Because you had your boy. He was one of your groomsmen, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel can fire that thing. In college, y'all did big thing.
Yeah, no, Johnny was an accurate quarterback, and he threw it really
good. And Jameis can throw it. Now, he will throw it Jameis to the opposition, too, but Jameis can flat throw that football.
All quarterbacks throw interceptions, though.
But what kind of ball does Tom
throw? I'm happy for Jameis, though. Jameis. He got the starting job in New Orleans. But, man, Tom can really zip it. They were talking about he was losing his arm talent and things like that, but I don't see nothing. He's 44 years old, and, you know, it's probably even better than last year, how he's spending it right now, making a lot of great throws in practice in the preseason.
Has practice become more important to you as a player now that you've partnered with Tom Brady?
I've always taken practice very seriously, to work the crafts, get the looks that we need before we go out into the game. But we definitely – the reps me and Tom get and he gets with the offense, we need them because, you know, we're behind a lot of teams that's been together for a long time. And, you know, we're trying to do something very special, and we need those practice reps. And Tom understands that. And, you know, we all make sure that, you know, we're out there working.
You got to be careful there. You know, I like Chris Godwin. I believe he's one of the most underrated receivers that we have, even before Tom got there. But now you guys got Fournette. You guys got Gronk, dominant player throughout his career, gold jacket. Antonio Brown has the numbers, another gold jacket. Practice must be hell of a competitive with all those great athletes in one huddle.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Our defense is fantastic. They give us a run for our money all the time. This camp, I feel like we gave it to them, but let them tell it. It'll probably taste something different. But it's great work. It's great work, you know, to have that level of competition and that much fun at practice. We definitely get each other better, and, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Give me one little tidbit that you've learned from AB, because he's a technician. His releases and everything are second to none, and he studies the game of football.
Yes, he does. And he practices so hard, and he's, how old is he? 33. And he looks fresh. He has a lot of juice. He always wants to go more. Like, he never gets tired. That's one thing that, you know, I wish I could have, or all receivers wish they could have. Cause he's a guy that I've seen never gets tired. And the way he sticks on his routes is what I'm looking at. He just sticks so hard in the ground and, like, doesn't lose, like, his leverage at all. Not many guys can do that, but I'm trying to do that.
Now, give me something from Gronk, something you've picked up from him, because there's no tight end that's been as dominant, and there's been no player that's had more fun playing the game than Gronk.
Man, I've learned to be more positive because of Gronk. You know, honestly, you know, like you say, he's a Hall of Fame caliber tight end. Well, he is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when his time comes. But I've learned in practice, if he drops a pass, misses a block, he's like, all right, I'll get the next one. And he just keeps smiling and just goes out there and just tries to make the next play. And he doesn't care. He doesn't beat himself up on, you know, the negatives he has. Like a lot of other guys, you know, we get frustrated and things like that, but he just moves on to the next play. And in the game as well, he's just always positive no matter what.
I've been knowing Bruce Arians for a long time. You know, he's got a lot of friends in the business. What did it feel like for you guys as a squad getting him that championship, given what he's been through, not only as a coach, but what he went through health-wise, retiring, coming back into the game and taking that Tampa job, believing that he had a Super Bowl champion there in Tampa?
We were all so happy for B.A., and we're going to try to get him another one because he's a very hardworking coach. You know, he's been through a lot. And, you know, I always liked Bruce Arians, even before I met him. I liked the way that they game planned against me when he was in Arizona. I thought he was a really smart coach. I liked the way that he talked, heard really great things about him from other players. And when we got him, I was very happy and excited to try to get him another Super Bowl championship.
Take me through that first playoff game. You guys weren't the favorite. Oh, mid-season, you guys are probably like, what the heck is going on? We look like old Tampa. You guys caught fire at the right time. But
We didn't think that.
Well, without the
– internally,
well, the thing about it with COVID and the lack of practice time, you guys probably figured, man, we just a play or two away, and that defense was only going to get better.
And the offense. You know, the offense, we started pretty slow. The defense started out better than we did, for sure. And we just knew that with time, that just getting more time together, that, you know, we get to where we wanted to go. And, you know, B.A. harped on it all year. We got to keep fighting. We got to, you know, stay resilient. And we learned a lot about ourselves, you know, before that bye week and, you know, strung off 8 straight. And that first playoff game, it was I mean, we did everything we had to do to get the win, but it was no fans in the stands, like not one. So that kind of sucked. But, you know, it made up for it in New Orleans and Green Bay. They had a couple fans in New Orleans, and Green Bay did a really good job. And the Super Bowl was cool, too. To have fans out there.
Take me through you getting ready for the Super Bowl. Like, you've been through the season. Tom is there. The shiny, he's not a shiny toy anymore. Now you're going out there, Super Bowl 55. Get me what you were thinking about. What'd you eat for pregame? How nervous were you?
I wasn't nervous at all. And the tickets are slotted. So I bought a suite. I did buy a suite. I bought a suite. Cost me a little bit, but it was worth it. You know, a lot of my family members and close friends got to, you know, watch that game. But it was a strange feeling because everybody all week was talking about the parties after and what they're doing after and making plans. And I'm like, what if we lose? Would y'all still want to do all this stuff? And they're like, we're not losing. And so I was like, all right, shit, we ain't losing. And then, you know, I started making my own plans. And then, you know, the day of the game, we had a morning activation. And the mood in the little lobby we were in doing our activation, we were, like, doing foam rolling, stretching. And everybody was just hype. Everybody just had a confidence about them that they knew that, you know, we were going to get the job done because we had played Kansas City earlier in the season. And, you know, we wanted to get our rematch against those guys. And, you know, everybody was well prepared and just very confident.
The defense was playing so well. But the story was Tom Brady legendary going to his 10th Super Bowl.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, they've only played 55. He's been to 10 of them. How was he in the huddle? How was he in the on the sideline? And I know afterwards you could see that how he was explaining to you guys, it's so worth it and so worth the sacrifice.
That moment, man, it was special. Tom, man, he did the same thing, you know, all year. Just prepped us, you know, before the games, made sure we were all on the same page, you know, as an offense. And he just did the same thing, but just with a little more detail and a little more time. That's all. We just had a little extra meetings for the playoff games and the Super Bowl. And he just sent us a little more film than usual for the Super Bowl. And it got us ready. I mean, we knew what to expect. On most downs, and he was a little fired up, a little more fired up than usual, I guess, for the Super Bowl. I mean, his 10th one, the game of games, but he was normal when the whistle blew.
I met with his dad the day before, and his dad wasn't worried about the game at all. I was like, "Well, what are you concerned about?" He's like, "I'm concerned he'll never quit. Like this guy doesn't want to quit football." So to me, that's what I was thinking about the Tom Brady. We're going to see him for a couple more years. Is that what you're thinking too?
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, you know, he says that, you know, if he feels like he can win, then he'll keep coming back. So hopefully he feels like he can win a few more years.
How has this offseason been different than the first offseason? Because we're still in COVID. But we're not totally out of it. But I know how important it is for Tom Brady to get with his wide receivers to be able to work on their chemistry in the offseason. And you guys weren't able to do that in year number one.
Well, I feel like we're miles ahead now. You know, obviously we had that the second half of last season, we really started like playing much better, and we took that momentum into mini camp and then now training camp and preseason, and you know, week one's around the corner. So, you know, I feel like we're miles ahead of where we were last year, and I look forward to seeing what we can do this year. I mean, we're trying to, you know, be one of the best offenses ever, and you know, we have the talent to do it. We just got to go out there and make it happen.
I mean, you have tremendous personnel. You guys were never healthy altogether, let alone Tom not having an off season. You guys got AB late. You guys got Fournette late. I mean, your expectations have to be through the roof to be able to say, man, if we have a whole training camp together, the team that takes the field against Dallas is a totally different team that took that first game, I think, last year in New Orleans, right?
And I mean, and everybody's healthy now too. You know, everybody's healthy. Everybody's on the same page. You know, Tom has more than, you know, he had a couple months into the offense before we played the Saints last year. So, you know, now, you know, he knows the playbook very well. We all know what he expects from us. And, you know, our O-line is very underrated as well. They're going to be even better than they were last year. So
give me a couple players on your roster. You're one of the longest tenured players there in Tampa. And when you go through training camp, you go through the preseason, there's a couple guys that typically kind of pop off the film. And they might be younger players. They might be veteran players just in the system. I talked to JPP this summer. He's so excited. He thinks that defense is going to be top three in the league, if not the
he's confident, and he's a beast, and he's one of our leaders.
So give me a couple of the guys that you have seen through training camp and through offseason that you really think going to pop this year.
I mean, a lot of guys are already pretty solidified. You mean like guys that haven't really like burst on the scene
either
yet?
Either one. Guys that you – or guys that haven't been healthy.
That's a lot. I feel like Antonio Brown is going to shock some people this year because people don't really mention him anymore like they used to. He was the best receiver in the league until a couple of years ago when he missed almost the whole season. He was the best receiver, in my opinion, him and Julio. But he's healthy this year, and he's juiced up. Chris Godwin's going to be healthy this year. So obviously my two running mates at receiver are going to do their thing. Tyler Johnson is a second-year player. I look for him to make a big leap for us, make some clutch catches for us last year in the playoffs. Defensive side of the ball, I feel like our secondary is going to take that next leap. You know, last year, I know they showed some games where they could be dominant. This year, I look for them to be more consistent and really ball out. You know, they're like 6'1 corners. Our safeties, young, hard-hitting, smart. You know, I look for our DBs and those two receivers that I mentioned, or three receivers that I mentioned, to really do something this year.
Mike, I greatly appreciate the time that you've taken with us. I really appreciate what you're doing off the field, because I feel as an NFL legacy player that we have a legacy, and that's to be charitable. And you have shown that. How important is it? Because I communicated with you last year when you were nominated for the Walter Payton. And I won the first Walter Payton Award winner. What would that mean to you as a human being to be able to win that award one day?
I mean, just to be nominated is tremendous honor, obviously. I mean, I never even thought about any of this. I've always, when I was young, I wanted to grow up and, you know, make a lot of money playing a sport I love. And then with the money I make, just take care of my family and then people in need. That's all I really wanted to do when I was young. And just to be nominated, that's just a bonus to be, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. That's just a bonus. But if I ever win it, you know, obviously it's going to be one of the best honors I've ever received. And, you know, I love what the Walter Payton family is doing. Walter Payton's family is doing. And, you know, I hope they keep that legacy going. And I'm just honored to be, you know, in the same like sentence as, you know, all these other guys that are doing great things for their communities and, you know, their hometowns and things like that.
You have the individual acknowledgments. You have the Pro Bowls. You have the Super Bowl. What's a real goal for Mike Evans as you enter year number 8 on a stat. Because when you start getting this point in your career, you have to compromise sometime your numbers. You know, ah, man, I might not be able to get 10 touchdowns. I might not be able to get 1,400 because we have to all these mouths feed. What are real goals for you at this point in your career?
I don't think about, like, the numbers as far as, like, what I'm going to have at the end of the season because every year is different. I just want to make the most plays possible. You know, I want to be better than I was last year. I want a higher catch percentage. I want to run better after the catch. I always try to get better at yak, always, because that's 1-2. You know, especially since I'm very healthy this year, I hope I can, you know, have my best season with yak and just some more big plays. I want some more big plays this year and just try to make the most of my opportunities. You know, I don't know a set number. Well, obviously, I'd like to continue the streak of 1,000-yard seasons to start a career and get into the playoffs and then, you know, try to get back to the dance.
He's Mike Evans, football fans. Mike, thanks for joining us. I hope people out there, I hope they realize that you're more than a football player. Thank you for sharing your life experiences because that's not always easy. Even though sometimes it does roll off our tongue, it's not always easy to think about those memories. And keep making a mark. They're in Tampa and they're in G-Town.
Yes, sir.
Because I know they're very, very proud of you. And as a former wide receiver that's played the game, I greatly appreciate how you go about it and how you've developed into not only the man on the field, but who you are off the field and take advantage of the NFL stage. It's Mike Evans, 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons, NFL record, broke my man straight cash homie Randy Moss's record.
That's my guy, though.
Super Bowl champion, newly minted there in Tampa Bay, Super Bowl 55 with Tom Terrific. Mike, pulling for you this season. Have a record-breaking season. Thanks for joining us on Wide Receiver One.
Chris, you're a legend. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Let's stay in contact with each other. Special thanks to Mike Evans, and thanks for listening to Wide Receiver One, a Blue Wire podcast. Presented by WinBet. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Carter. Catch you next week.